Well, there's a certain mindset that you require to be a successful solo traveller, apparently. You'd have to obviously be comfortable in your own company and with making friends on the road. But the payoff can be exhilarating. You come to know yourself when you're on your own, trying to negotiate your way through customs or even just through dinner in a foreign country. Travel blogger Chris Smith calls himself the Aussie Nomad, and he's been backpacking around Europe on his own. Chris, you actually think solo travel should be compulsory. Why
is that? Without a doubt. it's just the most exhilarating feeling. I landed in Paris last year and had no idea where I was going. I had to catch a train at 7 in the morning and completely scared out of my mind. But by the end of the day, I'd managed to navigate across Paris to where I was going. I'd got to my hospital. I'd met some amazing friends all in the first 24 hours. And from then on, it was just too much fun.
Did you speak any French, Chris?
Not at all. It was interesting trying to order. You try and order like a baguette in a little Paris bakery, and it's just point for this, and hope they understand, and you hand the money over, and away you go. But that's all the fun of it, really, I think.
Oh, look, I completely agree. But how do you negotiate your way through? Because Paris is one of the places on your... It's not even on your top five list.
It's not even on my list, no.
It's not even on your top five list. Did you speak any of the languages in the countries that you'd been to around Europe?
I practiced a little bit in certain places. Like, I met different travellers from Europe and all the rest, and so, like, I'd try and practice a few words while I was there just to try and make an effort. So, like, people appreciate... You might not be able to speak the language, but they appreciate if you can try and speak the language a little bit. They get a good laugh and everyone's happy, basically.
Yeah, they want to help you out because they want to shut you up.
Yeah, quite possibly, yes.
So what's your... what's number five on your list of the best places to visit solo?
For me, I found Berlin really interesting. It's cheaper than sort of after I'd been through sort of Paris and all the rest. It's got some amazing street art, just on the sides of buildings and everything. I did a tour there, and it was just these massive buildings, just artwork everywhere. It really is something to see. And they've also got this fascination with the crossing signals. You know how we have, like, the red and green man to say go and stop? They've commercialised it to no end. It started in East Germany. They've got, like, a little man with, like, a top hat and all the rest on the street signs, and it's just crazy to see.
Now, Krakow, Poland. You went from Germany to Poland.
I didn't actually. I went all the way up across the top and down through the Baltic States as well. But Krakow. Obviously, Auschwitz is right nearby, and I think it's something everyone should go and see.
Now, that might be a nice thing as well. When we're talking about travelling alone, I imagine that would be an experience that would be quite. Poignant on your own, because it's not, you're not necessarily wanting to talk to somebody through it.
No, it really is, like, to think that it only happened so many years ago, like, it's still very fresh in everyone's minds. And to walk around there and to see the sights, and you go into the rooms where they've got rooms of shoes and suitcases still and that sort of stuff, and it really is, it sort of hits home to think that, can this stuff really still happen in this day and age, or... Mm. And then you look at everything that's going on at the moment, you think, well, maybe it can.
So what did you like about being in Poland on your own?
It was just, people were really friendly, I found. It's cheap. In Krakow, the hostel I was staying at, there's Aussies everywhere. There's a couple Aussie guys behind the bar, and they sort of taught me the ways of vodka in Poland, which was very interesting. So everything's so old over that way, like, you come to Australia and buildings are, every 100 years is really old in Australia, whereas places like Krakow and that, they've got massive town centres that have been there for years and years and years that you just can't imagine.
Do you think people are friendlier to you? Have you found that if you're travelling on your own, once they know you're on your own, do they go out of their way to welcome you a bit more?
Like in the hostels and things like that you do, because there's plenty of other solo travellers doing exactly the same thing. You walk into a hostel and you walk into your dorm room the first day, and whoever's in there, generally your first questions are, what's your name, where you're from, where you're going, where have you been? An hour later, you've made a new friend and you're off exploring wherever you are and having an amazing time.
So what's number three on your list? Let's get
number
to that,
three
Chris.
Was Prague. It is beautiful. It's got sort of like the fairy tale castle up on the hill. You can stand along the bridge, watch it light up at night, and again, just another really old, beautiful city. But also, there's a town nearby called Kutná Hora, and it's got a bone chapel there. I don't know whose bright idea it was, but some stage in history, they've decorated the inside of the chapel with the remains of all of these people from around the area. They've made chandeliers, everything they've decorated and made out of people's bones, which is sort of a spooky place to go, but really interesting as well.
A sight to see.
Yeah, it really was. It was sort of like really hot day we went there, so you go inside and it's really dark and cold and all the rest, and you look around and it's just, yeah, sort of one of those things that you wouldn't see anywhere else. It's strange little things.
And Estonia is number two. What was so fabulously special about Estonia on your own?
Estonia, I went to Tallinn. That was the first place I sort of landed that had what they call an old town, so like the really old town centre with the big old stone buildings and the stone roads and everything like that. And it was really, really cheap. I was talking maybe $10 a night for a hostel. And it's just like everything was just amazingly green and lush compared to back home at the time when I left. Sort of you climb up the really tall tower there in the centre of town, you look out across the tops of the houses and all the different reds and colours of the roofs, and sort of look out to the ocean towards sort of Finland and all the rest as well. And, yeah, it was really interesting.
We're talking to travel blogger Chris Smith. He calls himself the Aussie Nomad on afternoons. It's 2:45. We're going through Chris likes to travel solo. We're going through his list of the top five places in the world. If you're travelling solo, interested to hear yours, 1-300-222-720, or you can text 0437-922-720. Now, number one on your list, Chris, and it's a pretty spectacular list that you've got. So I can't believe Paris isn't on it, but
I could have put Paris at number five. I could have put a lot of places on there. There's just so much to see in Europe. It's just so beautiful that, I mean, I could spend my entire life here and still not see it all, I think.
Number one, your
number
favourite
one.
Place?
Favourite place, without a doubt, is the Amalfi Coast in Italy. My best way of describing it is think of the most beautiful place you've been, times it by 1,000. Just the cliffs and the ocean and the, sort of to go along the coast, you can get on a local bus. They drive along this narrow road pretty much on the edge of the cliff. At certain points, two buses can't pass on the same spot, and they've sort of got to reverse and let each other through and all the rest, which sort of adds to the excitement as you look down the side and all you can see is the ocean. But it was just so stupidly beautiful that, I mean, you combine that with pizza and gelato and all that sort of stuff in Italy, and it's just, yeah, I couldn't think of any other place. If I had to find one place to live for the rest of my life, it would be there, without a doubt.
I can see why. I think, doesn't George Clooney live on the Amalfi Coast somewhere? Italy?
Somewhere around Positano or something like that, I think, yeah.
No, I think that's a very good argument for me travelling solo to Italy that you put forward there, Chris. So what's your big tip if people are travelling on their own? What is the best thing that you learned about getting around solo?
Just go over there with open mind and be willing to talk to people. Be open. I left Australia with what I thought was a great deal of confidence and all the rest, and once I'd finished a couple of months around Europe, I realised I didn't have any confidence at all. I left Europe and I was more confident, more happy with myself, more just full of energy because I spoke to people, I'd push myself a little bit. Because you're on your own, there's no sort of fallback. It's all you. You find out a lot about yourself and how you realise that you can really survive, can do anything you like. Just go with an open mind and enjoy it. Talk to people. It's one of the best parts about it.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Chris, and sharing your top five with us as well.
Not a problem.
Chris Smith, the Aussie Nomad on Afternoons. Let's take some of your calls on this. Now, June. Hi, June. Have you done a lot of travelling on your own?
No, not a lot, and only in Australia.
But that's just as scary too, I think, if you're not used to travelling solo.
But more to the fact, if one is going out on to a play or to a musical or something like that, and trying to find some girlfriend that would go along with you, and I'd been travelling with a girlfriend for 3 or 4 years, and I was a ballet freak back then, and we're in Brisbane and wished to go to the ballet, and she said yes, she would come along with me, and we had the best seats in the house and all the rest of it, and she promptly fell asleep, and I had to nudge her to stop her from snoring.
Oh, no.
It was nobody said tut tut, but I could imagine they would have if you know, hadn't woken her up. And I just said to myself after that, don't ever inflict a concert or something on somebody by asking to come along, and they're too polite to say no, so just go on your own. And that's what I did from then on, if it was something that I enjoyed but they may not, and it didn't worry me anymore. I stopped fretting that the people around me would know that I was on my own.
June, I think that is such good advice, and I think I went to Europe with a friend, and we split up a lot of the times if there was a museum or a gallery or something that one of us wanted to see that the other didn't. It just takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And for instance, I always go along in Perth here to watch Simone Young conducting the orchestra every 12 months when she visits Perth. And it's a wonderful experience being a lady. That was the first thing the first time I went along to one of her recitals, or the Symphony Orchestra's recital. She was the conductor. And I never mind going to the Perth Concert Hall alone, because one can always park beneath or what have you. You know, you're not worried about wandering around dark streets or anything like that on your own. And other people are like-minded, and you all just smile at one another and sit down, take your place, and don't worry about being on your own.
June, I think that is fabulous advice, but it can be a bit scary first off. Now, Daryl, you've done a bit of solo travel yourself overseas?
No, I actually was with a group. But when I hear people talking about things that are 5,000 years old and so on overseas, you've only got to go to the Pilbara, and there's 2 million pieces of artwork that are 28,000 years old. But I did a trip from Beijing to Helsinki, which can be done by yourself. And I got lost in St. Petersburg and went past a Jewish... Well, I've forgotten what their churches are called now.
Synagogue?
Being done up. Synagogue, that's right, being done up. And the Trans-Siberian, you can go from having your own cabin to bunks that are 3 stories high in the carriage, sort of thing. And if you do your homework, you can really and truly find out what's going on there.
Now, you went to the Trans-Siberian train trip that we
talked about. And Trans-Mongolia.
Oh, you're very lucky, Daryl. But you say you went with the group, but you would like to do it again on your own.
Oh, I would love to, because I'd love to spend a couple of months in Mongolia. That is something else again.
And do you just feel a bit of pressure if there's people with you that you've got to kind of include everyone in the plans?
No, not with the group I went with. They're a local mob, and one of the group guides was from Brazil and Buenos Aires, and everywhere we went we had a local guide as well. But you can do it if you are willing to face the biggest confrontation of your life at Beijing Station. And it just is such a fabulous place to go. The Land of the Blue Skies. I've got a book written by a English communists in the 50s, and they say now that Chinggis Khan did the wrong thing by them, because he really destroyed the nation. And when we were at a camp out in the bush in Agur, it snowed 6 weeks in advance. But what I really felt wrong was that all these people who were in subsistence living, their crops were destroyed because the snow came 6 weeks early.
And oh, Daryl, look, we've got some other calls to take, so we will move on. But that just sounds like an absolutely incredible experience that you've had there. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of it with us. Linda, hello. You're a seasoned solo traveller.
Oh, hello, Gillian. It's Truckee Linda. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Of course you are.
Long time no hear.
Yes, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, Gillian, look, I, sort of about 15 years ago found myself free and single and thinking, well, you know, how am I going to cope with this? But like your other lady suggested, you know, I took myself off into the Pilbara and the Gascoynes camping on my own, and that was, you know, we'd spent years in the Northern Territory doing it as a couple. But all of a sudden it's like, well, yes, I can do this, and it's don't worry about it, be prepared. And I've had two big trips overseas. I spent 12 months travelling about 10 years ago, a lot in Europe, over to Canada and then back to the UK, Scotland. A lot of it train travel, but I think it's just be open-minded. And I, you know, I can talk the leg off a donkey. So it's sort of, you know, even if you don't speak the language, you still manage to sort of communicate with people. I love, you know, sort of botanical gardens, and no one wants to spend all day with me in a botanical garden, and things like that you can do on your own.
And you probably don't want to spend all day in a botanical garden with somebody over your shoulder, you know, looking bored either, do you?
I mean, even last year I went to New Zealand for 10 days, caught up with some friends, you know, did the botanical gardens, did the things, and then my partner, who's a bit travel restricted because he also has a transport, you know, a business, and it was like, well, yeah, we spent the 10 days together, but I had 10 days on my own to do the, you know, that I like to do. I mean, South Africa was a bit of an experience on your own. I did a lot of driving in South Africa, and everybody says, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. But as long as you do it safely, you know, sort of get off the road before dark, make sure you, you know, you've got somewhere safe to stay, and be aware.
Yeah, that is great advice, Linda, and I'm feeling all renewed enthusiasm.
Well, let me know when you want to go on your own, Dilla, and I'll give you a few tips.
Good on you, Linda. Thanks so much for your call. Linda is a regular caller to the ABC, and she's just such good value. Helen, hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Yes, I'm well. You've travelled. Now, this is a great story. You decided 6 months this year.
It was 2 years ago, and I was turning 60, so I decided to take 6 months and do what I wanted to do, go where I wanted to go, and that's what I did, and it was absolutely fantastic, and language wasn't a problem. I can't speak any other language. I've tried, hopeless, but I didn't need to. The French were fantastic. I went to Morocco. I went to all through Portugal. Portugal was so interesting. I caught little local trains. People told me places to go, and they didn't tell me it was going to take all day to get there, and I was only two people on a bus. But the driver and I, as soon as I just showed him where I wanted to go, they just kept putting me on bus after bus, and it was brilliant. And
did you get lonely, Helen?
I think a little bit. Sometimes at night you do a bit, but most of the time I was pretty exhausted anyway because I sort of walked and did so much during the day. And I caught up with friends at different places, though, so I sort of had breaks in between. But a great little experience when I got off the train in south of Portugal, and this old man came up to the train because I hadn't booked accommodation. Sometimes I didn't. I just sort of took potluck, mostly at hostels, which were fantastic. But anyway, he said, oh, how many people are there? I said, no, it's only me. I said, and he's got an apartment. Anyway, it turned out the apartment would cost me $20 a night, and I had a whole – so I just – all I did was – flop down, go and cook myself a meal for a change. But, you know, they kept coming up to check on me, make sure I was okay. So I think being that little bit older too, everybody makes a fuss of you.
Have you got any tips for any first-time solo travellers, Helen?
Definitely travel light. Absolutely travel light. And and if you're flying, fly midweek between Tuesday and Thursday, and you get the fares almost for free. It was brilliant. I travelled so much flying at different places. It was really great. It cost me about $40 Australian, and And then when I did have to buy a ticket that was full, I almost collapsed, you know, and now I realise, oh, it's not that expensive after all.
Oh, Helen, that is just gorgeous. What a great thing to do to celebrate turning 60. Thank you for your call and your Facebook message. Has been having a chat on there. Sam has sent in a text, don't be too rigid in your plans. It will all work out one way or another. I think that's good advice, whether you're on your own or in a group, Sam, travelling. And I'm getting lots of advice on where to track George Clooney down. Apparently it's Como up in the north of Italy. But, you know, I'm happy to take a scenic tour on my George Hunt. I'm prepared to do that.